Good morning, 7:39, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, cold and sunny. That's the way we like it. I mean, it's good. I like a little change of pace. Mayor D.C. Reeves always joins us at this.
I am here.
Outstanding. Sorry about that, sir. Okay, so we have a lot of stuff to get to. I'm going to start with the smallest thing first. Fishing on Three Mile Bridge is, in fact, prohibited, and they are working on signs, and they were already working on them when we talked about it last week. Is that right?
That is 100% correct. We've actually, I met with FDOT on many things in Chipley probably almost a month ago. We drove over our staff administration and met on lots of stuff, but that was one of the topics we discussed is it's a safety issue. I mean, we can't have people fishing and hitting cars behind them and bicyclists trying to get by. I mean, it's clearly a safety issue. And so there are actually, I would expect, I know our PPD has been notified. Fish and Wildlife has been notified by FDOT that this is happening, that we expect signs up in the next city.
The one thing we don't want to hear for a police officer is the jig made me jag.
that's what we don't want to hear from the driver. I'm not sure.
All right. You had some. You're doing a lot. You're putting out too many big news stories at a time. I'm gonna complain about this. All right.
I understand.
The first one, and we didn't really talk about it last week, except to mention that I agree with you. Red light cameras. You're gonna do a pilot program. A handful of intersections to start. Is that right?
That's right. Yeah. So we're gonna probably look at 12 to 15. Obviously, you can look at the data that we shared with the media yesterday. That of our 16-hour study. At 17 different intersections, 26 approaches. Remember, that's one direction at a light. So what we're looking at is probably 12 to 15 approaches. So that may only be, you know, if it's a total intersection, you know, we're talking about certainly less than 10 total intersections. But, at the end of the day, we know it's where the crashes are happening. We know that it's 5,000 plus hours of police work for just the primary officer. And it's kind of interesting. I mean, the sociology behind any kind of blowback or protest to this, I'm really not following. I've even been presented that it's somehow, you know, anti-Republican. And I would I really am saying is I don't know how it's a partisan platform for people to not get hurt or killed at a red light. What I look at is how do we keep people safe? How do we keep our police out in your neighborhood, not at a traffic accident? And, there is one foolproof plan that everyone can abide by. Just don't run the red light. You won't know they're there, I promise you. That's it. And so rationalizing the vibrancy of our community has to be derived in somehow injuring or killing people at intersections doesn't really make a lot of sense to me.
As a long time, not lifelong, I was definitely a Democrat at one time, a liberal at one time, okay, but as a long time Republican, I'm pretty sure our party platform is not built around running red lights and defending those who do. So just to be clear about that, you know, I'm in favor of law enforcement, okay? The question, though, is you're going to roll this out as a pilot program. I have to assume that the goal, since the goal is to, as quickly as possible, reduce danger and or crashes, that you'd be rolling it out at the major intersections, the biggest high-profile intersections, and then you're looking to see what, 6 months, how down the road, how many people are running red lights, what collision rates, that kind of stuff. Is that what we're expecting?
Exactly. We have a wealth of data over the past decade that suggests where these accidents are happening. And then, of course, now even more surgical data exactly, you know, and talk about this summer, what happened on a 16-hour period at all these intersections. So we are fully stocked with data to make good decisions on where these go. Now, what I was saying is, we're not going to go out and pick 50 intersections to do this. I mean, we want to see how it works. Are there some blind spots for us in how it operates? We want to make sure that we aren't overdoing it. Because what's the goal here? Safety is the goal. So we want to see in 6 months or 8 months, 9 months, a year that we went from 65 crashes at, say, 9th and Bayou to 20 or less. You know, we want to see that we're making progress before we were to go too heavy-handed across the city. So we'll pick our biggest pain points, and I've mentioned before, Fairfield and Davis, 9th and Bayou, 9th and Airport are our year-over-year worst intersections for crashes. So, again, we're not finalizing this list quite yet, but it's a pretty safe assumption there'll be some interaction with some cameras at those three intersections.
And I like that you mentioned that it was particularly at Davis and Fairfield, you're talking about the east-west, not necessarily the north-south, so it's the approaches, not the intersection. And even I think Gregory in ninth was one that was mentioned as well, which I can see how that would be an issue. So I am looking forward to this. I think that it will be effective. The only thing that annoys me is we haven't done it before, because I agree with the reasoning that you cut down on property damage, you cut down on damage to people and loss of life, and all you're really doing is enforcing a law that people should already be following to begin with. One question I have: what's the cost involved to, for example, install the equipment, monitor and maintain, handle the requests, send out the mailers? I know this is not a money-making proposition, and even if it is, that's going to go back into public safety. But what is the kind of investment we're looking at to set up the pilot program?
Yeah, ultimately how the mechanics of the costs work is there's ultimately some kind of monthly – I mean, I'm going to oversimplify this and basically say that it's some kind of monthly fee from the operator that they're getting a certain – percentage of ticket, ticket violation revenue that helps offset their cost. There's not a big capital outlay on this that the city has to bear. But that's also why you wouldn't put one at all hundreds of intersections of the city, is because you're really trying to focus on areas that are pain points for safety and that have the traffic volume. So that's how it will work. It's not a big expense to us. There's some minor, we're going to, like Gulf Breeze does, we're going to put signs up that say, come when you approach the intersection that it's photo enforced. So we're going to have those kinds of things. So we'll have some minimal expense on our side to get it set up, but it's really built into the operation. There's not a big upfront capital.
All right. I got a couple of questions, follow-up questions on the red light camera thing. Everything is a little bit different process. Will PPD officers have final eyeballs on the tickets here in Pensacola to make sure that they're justified violations?
Absolutely. And I'll, the one time I can bring up a Blockbuster reference, me and you brothers in Blockbuster, is that remember when you were supposed to drop the video off by noon and people would say that I dropped it off at 12:05 and we didn't actually bring anything until 4?
Yeah.
Same concept here. Anybody who says, well, I missed it by an inch, there's going to be some margin of error that's going to be allowed here, that's going to be looked at human eyes. So if you get a violation, it's clearly going to be a violation. That's what I could say at this point.
And I figured that was the case. I know it's good for people to be able to hear that. Second thing is, though, as you mentioned, there's a revenue spinoff to the operating company, and there might theoretically be some revenue to us, which would go into public safety if it ever has to be a lot. But really, the goal is for it to be, a losing proposition, right? The goal is to write no red light tickets, right?
Correct. I mean, and that's why I said people are like, well, is this some kind of revenue stream for the city? I hope not.
Right.
I hope that, I hope what it is, what I would be happy with is, look, if it's cost neutral, that helps us operate it, and we go from 65 crashes at 9th and Bayou or over 60 in every year in, year out, and we go to 15, that is worth its weight in gold. So, I mean, we're talking about lives that we're saving. So, I hope it doesn't make money. If it does, as you mentioned, any money would go back to public safety, fire or infrastructure.
Yeah, and honestly, let's say we put it in place, everybody stops running red lights, the company is losing money, and they come to us and say, hey, we're losing money, we got to change this, you need to pay for this service. Great. we'll pay for it. It's better than hiring officers.
I would love to have. I would love to have the conversation where they have to, I have to, plead with them to charge us less money because we have no one running red lights.
Right.
I look forward very much to that conversation.
Purely a practical, I guess, political question. You're smart. Okay. You're not going to roll this out and then ask city council if they're willing to change the ordinance. I assume you've talked to enough city council members and briefed them that the changing of the ordinance is kind of a pro forma at this point. Is that your expectation?
I would think so. We think the citywide support and the infrastructure already kind of in place to make sure that we can enforce this fairly.
Perfect. That's what I want. And I assume, but I just, my job is to sometimes ask the questions instead of assuming. We always run out of time. This is so frustrating. I love the idea of the professional development. We'll have to get into that next time. But the program with PSC to teach people how to be leaders, because leadership is something you have to be taught, not something you just acquire because you're good at your base job. I love that premise. Wonderful premise. I did also want to just give you a moment to talk about the CareerSource Florida Board of Directors appointment. Kudos to you.
Yeah, thank you. And certainly grateful to Governor DeSantis for that appointment. We know how important workforce talent development is in any city in Florida, and you can think about very specific situations, like for the city of Pensacola, ST Engineering. You know, what are we trying to do? We're trying to get that workforce built up and reap the benefits, the ROI of having a big company like that. And so, so I'm really excited. We're actually, I'm working with the Chamber and CareerSource Escarosa, Dr. McBride, to actually get a working group together before my first meeting to kind of make sure and just listen to the people that are really on the front lines of workforce development, make sure that when I go to Tallahassee and go to these board meetings that I'm representing ourselves well and representing our priorities well. So very excited for that. And it's a very important board. It's where the workforce dollars in the state of Florida go. So very excited for that opportunity.
No, it's a really good thing. It's quite an honor, frankly. And then we always like to end with a bit of a lightning round, just some fun questions that we ask you. First question is, do you wash your jeans in the washing machine? If so, how frequently? Do you go multiple wears before you wash them? There's a big online debate about this, and some people say you should never wash jeans.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're going to expose me a bit here. I'm not a big regular jean washer. I think you just got to let it ride a little bit. They never fit the same once you let them run through, I don't think. So, you know, I hate to say that. It makes me sound maybe not as clean as I need to be. But, you know, I'll let them run.
I'll let them run. No, it's true, because you wash them and they get smaller, and then you got to wear them back to the proper size. I mean, that's not fun.
Exactly.
Do you leave online reviews? Do you leave bad online reviews? Are you honest in that way, or do you participate in the reviewing system?
Probably not as much as I should on the positive side, because I've owned a business and I know how valuable those are. But usually, if I've got a negative review, I email the person directly if I had a bad experience.
All right.
I mean, I just think, you know, that's how you help. You want to help a business, email the manager, you know, and say, hey, look, this is the experience I had. I mean, I think that's the most productive thing to help a small business, frankly. And I know I'm a little biased in that. But.
I'm going to ask you a question that may expose an age gap between us. And so please feel free to say you're not sure. But were you a Friends watcher with the passing of Matthew Perry? Do you have a favorite Friends episode? And if your answer is, I never really watched Friends, that's okay. I forgive you. You're a lot younger than I am.
Actually, you'll love this. You hit the nail on the head. I used to watch it because my mom used to watch it. So I used to see it, you know.
Man.
It would sound like I was making that up, only to make you seem old. But
let me pull the pitchfork out of my bag.
So
all right.
Episode. Yeah. I was playing with toys in the living room while she was watching the delivery. So I am familiar.
Okay. So I've told this story a couple times, but I have to tell you because it's relevant right now. We used to have a front desk person, you know, a receptionist who was like just out of UWF 22 or whatever. And I was walking out one day and I was just chatting with her and she was watching something on her phone. And I said, oh, you know, what do you watch on your phone? And she said, oh, I'm watching this old TV show that my parents liked. Have you ever heard of it? It's called Friends.
I just slunked out the store. Exactly. 9 or 10 years old. Yeah, so I'd hear it in the background right before bedtime.
You were high on my list until that comment, but I'll allow it. DC Reeves is our mayor of Pensacola. As always, DC, thank you for the time, sir. I love some of these initiatives. They're very good. We'll look forward to talking to you again next week.
Awesome. Thank you, Andrew. Appreciate it.